Yes, indeed, friends. Good morning. Welcome to River Heights Vineyard Church. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors around here. I'm so happy to welcome you to worship today and to feel and experience the presence of God as we worship together. We will have more musical worship a little later in our service. Be ready. Right now, welcome. If this is your church home, we're so happy to see you. If you are a first-time guest with us, a special welcome. Pete, who is giving the sermon today, would love to meet you if this is your first time. He'll be right outside of these double doors after the service. We have a gift for our first-time guests. I believe it still contains chocolate. Is that correct? It does. There is chocolate in the gift. Talk to Pete. He would love to see you. So our purpose here at River Heights Vineyard, are you ready? Get loose. The first time I've ever done the motions. Our purpose here at River Heights Vineyard is to love God, love people, and change the world. Yes, and we mean it, and we mean it. We really care about being a community where our faith and our actions, our faith and the way we live our lives are connected. And one of the ways we regularly practice this is through financial giving. Every time we give, we are part of this mission that we have. Our church has a long history of generosity, and we want that to continue. Every week, we make spaces for youth to experience community, to receive and experience the love of God. We allow community meals to happen for people who are hungry through our partnership with Loaves and Fishes. We have several recovery groups, including our own recovery ministry that meets in this space. We host Alpha on a weekly basis, which is a space for people to come experience a judgment-free way to ask questions about faith. And, of course, we have our weekly worship and much more. All of these things happen when we give, and we are a part of something bigger than ourselves through our faith in Jesus, through trusting God with what we have. So I encourage you to give and to give generously. You can give electronically through PushPay, which is what I do. There's a QR code on the screen to make that happen through a mobile device. There are also boxes next to the doors for cash and check if you prefer analog. That is totally welcome. I'm going to pray for our giving today. Would you join me? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, will you lift up what we have to you? God, just as you do with our lives, we ask that you would come, make our gifts more than they could be alone. Turn them into something beautiful. Turn them in to the work of your kingdom, even as we sing. May we see your kingdom come through what we offer to you. Amen. I invite you to take out a connection card. I don't actually have a physical copy. That's my bad. There we go. Wave them up if you got them. If you came in the door, you were likely given a connection card. If you didn't, it's okay. There's a QR code on the screen where you can fill this out electronically. Every week that you join for worship, whether you've been here for years or not, we invite you to fill out one of these every time you're here on a Sunday. The main reason for that is that the pastoral team and the prayer team pray for every card we receive. We pray for you. It is a big part of what we do. It's part of our commitment to you, and we want to be able to do that. So on that connection card is a space called prayer requests. If there are specific things we can be praying for you, please write those there. You're very welcome. You can select if you'd like that to remain anonymous, in which case it would just remain with the pastoral staff. Do with that what you will. There's also a space called God Stories. If you have seen God show up in your life, I know there are stories in this room from the last week of how God has shown up in our lives. We want you to share those there. Please let us know what's going on. We might share those if you give permission on the screen before service next week, because we want to be able to encourage the community with those stories. So please fill out a connection card. Coming up, Sunday, July 13th, Belong class. Belong is one of three classes. I play the guitar. I should be able to do that. Belong is one of three classes that are the pathway to membership here at River Heights Vineyard. You can take them in any order. Each class is about half teaching and half discussion. They're a fantastic way to get to know the pastoral staff as well as other folks who might be new to River Heights. You don't have to be formally seeking a pathway to membership to come. It's a great way to explore that. But if you're also just curious, like, what's this church all about? This is the place to find out more. You can sign up for Belong class on your connection card. We would love to see you there. I think I'm going to be at that one. I think. All of us would love to see you. I know I personally would love to see you at Belong class. Belong class is the 13th. before Belong Class, men's breakfast, next Saturday the 5th. A men's breakfast meets monthly at Pete's house. It is a fantastic gathering. This is for guys. It's implied in the name. We begin at 9 a.m. We share a super good breakfast that Pete makes. We share a prayer, a testimony, a short devotion, and super good community. I personally know from working with Pete that one of his favorite ways to do ministry is to make food for people. Please come and experience it. He would love it more than almost anything else, probably. Come on down to men's breakfast, guys. And then coming up is a save the date for August, our last date-related announcement this morning. The Global Leadership Summit we are hosting the Global Leadership Summit as a stream site on August 7th and 8th. If you're not familiar with the GLS, as they like to call it, this is a super cool event. It convenes a leadership thought leaders from all kinds of sectors, from within the church and without. People come from the corporate world, people come from the church world, probably some other worlds too. If you're not in either of those worlds, then you can still come. There's going to be some good stuff for you. It's a very unique space that brings together leaders who wouldn't maybe ordinarily be in the same place. And so we're going to host a stream site. More information is on the QR code. This will be August 7th and 8th right here at River Heights. Lastly today, something very close to my own heart, worship arts. Our worship arts ministry here at River Heights is looking for more volunteers. We have space for volunteers in just about every team that serves on Sundays. So if you're not familiar, part of what worship arts does is all of our music teams, all of our sound, live stream, projection, media teams. These teams work throughout the week to prepare for what's going on right now. If our Sunday worship is like a dinner party, the worship arts teams are like the cooks and the servers and the dishwashers and the front of house staff, and we love to make our Sunday worship happen. If you have thought about joining worship arts in the past, let this be a sign. Take a step. If you have not thought about it, let this be a sign. Think about it. You can indicate interest on your connection card. Please do that. If you're interested at all, please do that. I would love to talk to you. You're also welcome to come ask me any questions. I lead our worship arts teams. I'd be happy to talk about anything. And I would say we probably have a special request for any instrumentalists among us at this point in time. Drummers, I love drummers. You know, if I had like a Back to the Future situation, I would become a drummer, but it's too late. And so we need drummers. If you play an instrument, I would love to talk to you if you have not thought about serving before, or if you have and want to know some more, would love to connect. Okay, at this point, middle schoolers are welcome to head to Middle Church. We bless you in the name of Jesus to do that. The rest of us, turn to your neighbor, say hi to somebody new, and Pastor Pete will be up to deliver the message forthwith.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. My name, as you may have heard, is Pete. I am one of the pastors here, and today we get to continue our journey through the book of Acts. In today's chapter, we're going to read about a pair of visions from God that changed everything about early Christianity. Last week, I got to preach about Saul's dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, and I shared how that story shows us that God can reach anyone. Amen. God heals through us, amen? And God calls us to a mission in the world, amen? Today's chapter is going to address some important questions of our faith, questions you might have wrestled with in one way or another over the years. Number one, who is included in God's love? And number two, how can we reimagine the Bible when our understanding of it comes into conflict with what God is doing? Today's story is also supernatural, political, interracial, and dangerous to at least the reputation of many of the parties involved. Let's buckle up for Acts 10. We're going to dive right in. Verse 1. The verses will be on the screen as we read, and I'll stop to explain periodically. Chapter 10, verse 1. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So today's story has two main players, and Cornelius is the first. If you'll remember from previous sermons, Israel at this time, the people of God, was under the rulership of Rome, and that relationship was not at all friendly. Roman soldiers had violently put down rebellions all over Israel. They occupied it militarily because of those rebellions. And so to a follower of Jesus, which at this time is entirely Jewish people, a Roman soldier is unlikely to be the good guy in any story. But here we see Cornelius is not just any soldier. He is a devout, God-fearing man. And the term God-fearer is used in ancient literature quite a bit. It has a full meaning. It means he believed in the Jewish God and had dedicated his life to the practices of following the Jewish God. But because he was not Jewish, he could not participate in temple worship the way he could have if he had been Jewish. And so here we have one of our main figures. Where will the story go? Verse 3. One afternoon, at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened, and he sent them off to Joppa. Now, my commentaries say Cornelius was probably the leader of about 80 soldiers or so. And because of how he's identified here, he's likely not a Roman citizen, but in the class of Roman military officers who were given a chance. You can serve in the military, and you get citizenship when you retire. And because of how Rome worked, that passes on to your kids and their families. And so that's considered a big prize. And we have two clear signs that this man's life has been transformed by God. Not just that he believes, but that his life has been changed. We have his prayers, his conversation with God, and his gifts to the poor. His giving of money he could keep for himself to the work of caring for people with less. These two things show that his heart has been changed by God. And an angel appears and calls out to Cornelius and terrifies him. Basically, every time an angel happens in the Old Testament, people are terrified, they fall over on their face, they cry out to God, they're super scared. I have never met an angel. I don't think they probably look like most of our pictures of angels in the world today. I'm not going to speculate on what they might look at. The angel appears and starts with good news. Cornelius, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. And so send some men to a Jewish man named Peter at a specific house and a specific location. What a tremendous experience for Cornelius. To have your faith recognized by an angel and to be given a mission directly from God. Powerful experience. Cornelius is obedient, and he sends for messengers, and he tells them to do exactly what the angel said. What's God going to do? Verse 9. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up to a flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry, but while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds. And then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." I love this next sentence. "No, Lord." How many of us have said this before? Raise your hand. I know we got more. Come on, let's go. How many of us have said, no, Lord? I have definitely said this. No, Lord, Peter declared. I'm sure he's going to win. I'm sure it goes different for him, right? I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated three times. I like to think that he gave God the same answer three times. No, Lord. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Now, before we talk about the specifics in these verses, what I'd like to do is look at the situation on earth from God's eyes. God had established in the start of Scripture and through the entire course of the people of God a plan. And that plan is to bless humanity through humanity. The Old Testament says that God's plan for the people of God is to make of us a royal priesthood. That's to make of us people whose lives point everyone in the world to God who loves them. And today, God works through us to point to each other. Amen? That's why the church means so much to our lives. Because when it is working, it's a place that builds us up through the love of God and the love that we show one another. And again, that's God's plan for his love to flow through us into the world. But at the time of Acts, this plan is not yet working. The believers are all Jewish. And the way they understand their Bible is very clear. Their Bible says we cannot associate even with non-believers. They believe they're called to worship God as commanded in the Old Testament. But in this story, Jews and Gentiles, that's everybody who's not Jewish in the whole world, are separated by a religious wall. The Jewish believers still believe that God's love is meant for them. And Cornelius and Peter would never even speak to one another if something didn't change. The book of Colossians says, through the Son, God reconciled all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, thereby making peace through the blood of the cross. In other words, God's plan through Jesus includes not just the Jewish believers, not just believers, but the whole of creation, all things. And God's plan for Jewish and Gentile believers is reconciliation. It is healed relationships of mutual love. And yet here we have these two people, Peter and Cornelius, military overlord, oppressed fisherman, Jew and Gentile, but both men who love God. And God is not okay with the walls that separate them. And so God sends, and Cornelius meets an angel. And Peter gets a vision that challenges his understanding of the Bible and perhaps begins to put some cracks in that wall. Peter's vision is centered in the Bible. The Old Testament is crystal clear. A ton of animals are considered unclean for the Jewish people, not just for eating, but even for touching. Leviticus 11 is filled with lists of what animals are edible and which aren't. And a whole lot of the animals, including reptiles, which are in Peter's vision, are called detestable. And the touch of a dead animal in the categories of animals you're not supposed to touch is said to defile the person touching them. How many of us in this church know, here's something we know, food culture goes deep, right? Like that stuff is from birth. And sometimes it's from your parents' birth and your grandparents' birth, and that stuff sticks with you. Try putting ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago. I recently posted my favorite video of all time on Facebook. It's Anthony Bourdain and Barack Obama talking smack about anyone who would do such a horrible thing. Try serving deep dish pizza to a New Yorker. When you add in the religion and the religious commands, the aversion to these foods in Peter's dream is so strong. And so God sends a message three times, even though Peter says, no, Lord. And he sends this vision with a message. Don't call anything unclean if God has made it clean. God is saying, even though you think you understand the Bible, even though you can read the words and you know you're right according to those words, I am changing your mind because what I say is right. And God can do that. And remember, in the Near Eastern ancient world, repetition is a way of emphasizing the point. God knows how deep food culture runs in our hearts. And so God's breaking through to Peter on a deep level, even though he doesn't quite understand the whole message yet. Verse 17, Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over this vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, because I have sent them." And so Peter went down and said, "I am the man you're looking for. Why have you come?" They said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He's a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message." And so Peter invited the men to stay for the night, and the next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. So this section is pretty straightforward. It's high in action because we're in the book of Acts. But look how in touch with the Holy Spirit Peter is. He's had a vision, he can't figure it out, but even as he's puzzling through things that are too hard for him to understand, he still hears the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly. And the Holy Spirit says, get up, go downstairs and follow these guys no matter where they take you. And when he goes down, he finds they are servants of a Roman military officers. And the story of his vision from the angels, he hears the story of this vision Cornelius had to come and get him. The officer's reputation precedes him, so they spend all night and then head out for Joppa. I want to make a suggestion. If you want to hear from God, get to know the Holy Spirit. Thank you for those amens. If you want to hear from God, get to know the Holy Spirit. Again and again in the book of Acts, again and again throughout Scripture, it's people who are close to the Holy Spirit who hear messages from God. Who would love to hear a message from God? Who would love to see a terrifying angel and fall over in fear? I would. That sounds awesome to me. Can you imagine telling people, "I saw the scariest thing I ever saw"? It was embarrassingly terrifying, but it was God. We want to be a church that gets to know the Holy Spirit. That's something we'd be happy to pray for you today after the service, whoever you are, that you would know God's voice and that you'd be able to follow God's voice in your everyday life, that you'd be able to hear things from God like, "Get up, go downstairs. There's some men coming with a message from me. Get to them right away and do whatever they ask." You ever feel like following God is hazy and vague? When you know the Holy Spirit, you have these moments where it's clear, where God breaks through all the noise and all the distractions and speaks into your heart and lets you know what God is doing. We want that for everybody. Verse 24. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and his close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up. I am a human being just like you." And so they talked together, and they went inside where many others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or even to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. And so I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." And so we see here Peter's beginning to get the message. He's been raised his whole life to separate himself from those people, in this case, Gentiles. His faith's built around following the Old Testament laws that keep him and his people away from those who don't follow God the right way. But God's not okay with that. And through the work of an angel and a vision and the Holy Spirit, all of that is beginning to change. Verse 30. Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now, send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. And so I sent for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here, waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. And so Cornelius shares his supernatural experience, and he lets Peter know, we're here to listen to whatever you have to say. Now, you can go through your whole life hoping to tell people the story of Jesus Christ. Has anyone here ever wished that you could share the story of Jesus with someone? How often does someone go, well, I just had a vision from God and I'd like to hear it. Will you please tell it to me? Has anyone ever had that happen? I had that happen once in 20-some years. I see three hands. Good for you guys. I've had that happen once in 20-some years of being a pastor. It's a miracle. And so he says, we're going to listen to whatever you have to say. And what's going to happen here is Peter's going to preach a short version of the gospel to Cornelius. And this is a great point to talk about one of the things that can slip you as you're reading through the book of Acts. Remember, the story of Acts is largely the story of how a tiny group of Jewish Christians became like the worldwide phenomenon. And the structure of how it happens reveals something interesting to us. As the hinge points of the book of Acts, there are five sermons. Five times where somebody full of the Holy Spirit stands up and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might remember a month or two back, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit fell, and the church grew by thousands in a single day. You might remember Stephen standing before those about to stone him, staring up into God, and preaching a lengthy sermon about how it was everybody holding the stones whose fault it was that Jesus was crucified, but Jesus is risen. This cycle of preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit falling, and the church growing happens again and again and again and again and again in the book of Acts. Verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly God shows no favoritism. We should just sit here for a second. Has anyone here ever met a Christian who thinks they're better than other people because of God? Has anyone been that Christian? Because I have. Right? Have you ever put yourself on a pedestal because of what God does in your life and thought, thank goodness I'm not like that person? I have. That's not what God's about. God shows no favoritism in every nation. Could we say every nation? In every nation, God accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel. There is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. And then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He's the one the prophets have testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Now, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. And then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they've received the Holy Spirit just like we did? And so he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. So this week again, we read about preaching, followed by the Holy Spirit, and the church growing with more and more people, because God is including all people in his love as they hear the message. Peter preaches that Jesus was anointed by God, full of the Holy Spirit, and sent out on the mission of doing good and healing everybody oppressed by the devil. And he testifies, God has raised Jesus from the dead, and it's Jesus who is the judge of the living and the dead. And he ends with the message that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the prophecies that the people have been waiting for and the source of our forgiveness. And immediately out of this message, the Holy Spirit falls, and Peter realizes, my understanding of the Bible has been disproved by an angel and a vision and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Peter had understood his Bible to call him to live separately from Cornelius because he does what's wrong. He's not one of us. And he was right. Those commands are in the Bible. But God wanted to do a new thing, something beyond Peter's understanding. And so God acts supernaturally. And Peter hears God and believes. We believe in the Holy Scriptures. 100%. The whole Holy Scriptures, old and new, Genesis to Revelation, all the stuff in between. We also believe that God can reinterpret them at will, because our understanding is always just partial. I've got saved by Jesus at, 23 from suicide and drug addiction and depression. And I've been doing my best to hone my understanding of the Bible, going to school, reading books. We got Theology Pub, a monthly group that meets together to talk about a book that has something to do with God. We're up over 150 books. I don't know what books to recommend anymore. You know? My understanding is this. I could keep getting my fingers closer. When I approach God, I don't ever feel like, I know who you are. I know what you're going to say next. Right? I have never said that to God. Never. One of the reliable ways that we can reinterpret Scripture is by looking for what God is doing in a community of God together. When we see God doing a new thing, we can trust God and change our understanding. We've seen the worldwide church do that in so many ways. I'll give one example here with the role of women in ministry. Scripture portrays women as apostles, and the earliest church clearly believed that women could function in any role. But by 300 or 400 AD, the church had started teaching only men can be priests, only men can talk in a church, only men can give out communion. And for over 1,000 years, way over 1,000 years, that's how it was. But God has done a new thing. And God has changed our views, largely by gifting women to teach. Who loves to hear Hopewell, Sue Marsden, Rena Rasmussen preaching in this church? Do you know who loves to hear them preach in this church? The Holy Spirit of the living God, because he's the one who gave them the gifts to do it. I got raised in churches that told me you can't do that. My middle brother married a girl named Stephanie. I told him, you can marry anyone in the world in high school, but not her. And so what did he do? Of course he married her. And I used to, we would have religion class, and both of us were, I don't know what the word is, ornery. And I would tell her, you can't even talk in church, just to make her mad. Because that's the relationship we had, and now I get to see her on Christmas every year. It's a lot of fun. I'm not eating my words or anything like that. God gets to change our view of the Bible. And if you're wondering about your views and you think God's doing something different than your views, ask the Holy Spirit and press into God, who can tell you reliably when it is that you are wrong and when it is that it's time for a new thing. One of my favorite Theology Pub books is by Luke Timothy Johnson. It's called Scripture and Discernment, Decision-Making in the Church. He argues that Luke and Acts, and if you remember, that's the two books we're preaching this year, Luke and Acts are meant to show us how the church is supposed to handle theology and the Bible. His argument, rooted in the kind of stories we're reading today, is that the only way to reliably understand and practice Scripture is in community. Period. It's the purpose of Scripture, which for 1,500 years was read aloud in community and discerned in community. His argument is that that's how we're supposed to do it. That is, every congregation is meant to discern the meaning of Scripture together. Every group of Jesus followers is called to read and even understand, and where necessary, reinterpret what they understand with one another in light of the activity of God. Because as much as we can trust our understanding of the Bible, even more we can trust our understanding of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And let's not forget that all this came from the simple preaching of Jesus. And so as we welcome the worship team back up on the stage, worship team, I just want to preach the gospel as I understand it. What I get from this story is that at some point God might tap on your shoulder and send someone to you who needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Who here feels totally ready to crush that? Stick your hand up. You know you can do it. A whole bunch of you more should stick your hands up. Stick your hand up if you know, I can do that. I have done that. I'm ready to do that. God, I want to do that. Love the two hands. Very good, Scott. Right? I'm just going to tell you, I was going to not even write this. I was just going to wing it, but I'm an extrovert. That's a bad idea. So I wrote a little bit out here. Here's the gospel as I understand it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth and it changed every single thing. All Jesus did was do good and do miracles with power that set people free. He welcomed and spent time with all the people his culture rejected. He ministered good news to the poor, freedom for the oppressed, sight for people who were blind. He preached the year of God's good favor to everybody who would listen. But he criticized the political and religious leaders because they were hurting the people, and that got him killed. He was betrayed and crucified and buried, and a lot of people thought that was the end of the story. But 3 days later, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And his resurrection shows every one of us today our end as we follow Jesus. The resurrection can save your life. It saved mine. When I was a drug addict and suicidal and ready to end it all, God came into my room, pressed me to the floor, held me overnight, and I woke up free from addiction and starting a journey that has changed everything about my life. God told me to go to church, and I told him for the first time, God, you're wrong. And God won. And then he called me to ministry, and he gave me faith to spend almost a decade getting to that calling to ministry. Before that, I had worked a decade on what? Video games. That was the hardest thing I ever spent a decade on. At every step of my life, good and sometimes terrible, Jesus has been there for me, pointing me towards servant love and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I want to testify today, Jesus Christ is the living, resurrected Son of God through whom all of us can be saved. And I know this because he saved me when I was nothing. As we transition back into worship, I have 3 tips for you. Something to read, pray, and do to put the Word of God into practice. I invite you to stand as you're able. Worship team, if you want to fiddle around with music, now's a good time. Tip number 1, something to read. Read Acts 10. It's an amazing story, and it changed the entire course of the world. And it shows us something that God might mean for us. Preaching, followed by the Holy Spirit, followed by the growth of the church through the mission of God. Read your Bibles, folks. Check out Acts 10. Tip number 2, ask God to help you use the Bible for inclusion, not exclusion. There's a whole lot of people who look to the Bible for who we get to point our fingers at, but the Bible says, do away with the pointing finger. Use your thumbs. This is who the Bible's written to, the person with the thumbs, okay? Ask God how to help you use the Bible to love everyone like he does. Tip 3, ask God for a gospel message that you can share. I went partially on script there for a minute, and the rest of that was just the things God's done in my life. Get in touch with what God has done in your life. Especially get in touch with the ways you have been screwed up and unable to do it yourself, but God helped. Because that's the best story in the world. God can help you. If you're on the prayer team, could you come stand in one of the corners at this time, please? Be a good week for a couple few people on each side. Now that we're at one service, there's a lot of people in the room. Two, maybe three people on each side would be good. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we transition into worship. And for those who are visiting, hey, church, could we welcome the youth group from Indiana who drove like 462 hours to be here? Yeah, thank you. We're glad you guys are here. We're glad you're here. We're going to close with worship, and the worship team will lead us through communion together. As we're doing these things, you're welcome to receive a prayer from anybody who's up front. I did feel like the number one thing God's inviting people toward this morning is getting to know the Holy Spirit. If you're just getting to know the Holy Spirit, if you'd like to go further in knowing the Holy Spirit, come up and have somebody pray a blessing for you. The Holy Spirit is good. God, we come together before you in gratitude for Luke and Acts. We thank you for being beyond our understanding of you. We thank you for the Bible, which is so reliable and wise and helpful. And we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit when we don't get it right. And we ask, God, that you would pour your Spirit out over our community, that you would make us a people who discern your will and your purpose in the world together through Scripture by the Holy Spirit. And I pray for every person in this room, God, that you would be in touch with the story of Jesus Christ in your life, that you would be free to share what Jesus has done in you, especially the ways you've been screwed up and Jesus has helped, and that Jesus would send you angels and visitors and visions. God, for anyone in this room who is not a Christian, we invite you who are standing here to pray this prayer of faith with me at this time. You can agree by saying amen. God, we need help. The world is super broken. There's so much that has come at us. And we are in so many ways inadequate to the task. We offer ourselves to you today, God. And Jesus, as we understand you, we offer ourselves through you. We ask, God, that you would receive our lives as we give them to you today, whoever we are, however we are, whatever we bring. And we ask that you would give us back your way to live the life we've been given. Amen. If you've prayed that for the first time, please come up and get a blessing from one of the people praying up front. We would love to bless you. Let's come to the Lord in worship, receive prayer as God leads.